He took us in when nobody wanted to take us in. He hugged us when nobody wanted to hug us. He spoke to us when nobody wanted to speak to us. Jesus, it's been good, been compassionate, been loving, been merciful, been caring, healed us, delivered us, set us free, filled us with the Holy Ghost, anointed us with His Spirit, gave us power. He said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He said, cast out demons in my name. He gave us His name. He put His name on us. We messed up our own name, but He put His name on us. Gave us His power and His grace and His mercy. Can't nobody do us like Jesus. Can't nobody do us like the Lord. Jesus. 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 Jesus, 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 Jesus. He's good, He's good, He's good, He's good, He's good, He's good, He's good. He's good, He's good, He's good. He's great, He's great, He's great. He's holy, He's holy, He's merciful. He's merciful. He's good. Can't nobody do us like Jesus. Can nobody do us like the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Have a seat. Have a seat. Have a seat. Amen. Sometimes we just got to do a praise break. Sometimes we just need a praise break. Sometimes we just got to give a praise break. Clap your hands one more time for the Lord. Make some noise. Just make some noise for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are good. You are awesome. You are mighty. No one is like you. No one lifts up like you, Lord God. You are good. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Well, amen. 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 God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. 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 God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 God is good. Hallelujah. Ah. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we got to just yield to the Spirit of the Lord. I thank God that we are not a church that puts God in a box. I thank God that we're not a church, I'm going to say it again, that puts God in a box. That we yield to the Holy Spirit. And so let's give the Lord one more hand praise. If you need a bulletin, you can raise your hand. One of the ushers will give you a bulletin that has the announcements as well as the study guide for our lesson today that we're going to get into the Word of God. Again, I want to welcome everybody to Chapel of Change. My name is Brian. I get to serve as the pastor here, and I'm grateful just to be anointed by God. I'm grateful that the Lord gave me another chance, not a second chance, but another chance. Amen. And I want to welcome all those online that are watching online. I want to welcome you and invite you to break out your Bible and study with us from the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And before we get into the word, I have a special announcement to make. If I can have your attention just for a couple moments, I promise you we will get into the Word of God. We are a Bible preaching and teaching church. And so we will get into the Word of God. But I just have a special announcement that I need your attention for a couple moments. Someone say, God is good.
God is good.
Awesome. So let me share with you the latest on what God is doing at Chapel of Change. How many know that serving the Lord is an exciting adventure, right? Don't ever fall for the lie that says serving Jesus is boring. Don't fall for that lie. It is exciting to serve the Lord. And from the start of Chapel of Change, we have made a commitment to be a different type of church. That's been our commitment.
Not a weird church, but just a different church. And part of that, it's expressed in different ways. One is we're committed to diversity, as you hear me say all the time. If you look around you, you are subject to sit by somebody who does not look like you. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Some churches you sit next to, the whole row looks like you. The whole side of the church looks like you. I don't know where I got off on that one, but it's true. We're committed to be a church for the city. We're committed to tangibly helping to change the community around us. In fact, this Saturday, we have Serve the City Day. We need everybody on deck to help sign up today after service. But we believe that the community around us should be changed if a church is there, right? We believe that. We actually believe that, God forbid, if Chapel Change were ever to die, we believe the community should cry. Some of y'all get that later. We believe the community should cry because we've done so much good that they weep when they go to our funeral. We also are committed to being a church planting church, a church planting church. We believe that it's not just about Chapel of Change, but it's about the kingdom of God, right? And we believe that it's not all about gathering, but it's also about scattering. That we're going to be judged by not how many people we gather around me, we're going to be judged by how many people we empower and we release into ministry and into the world, that we are all called to be missionaries in partnership with Jesus, that God has sent us on a mission, right? So we're a church planting church. And we are also a church that is prioritizes winning souls for the kingdom of God. We're all about winning souls for the kingdom. Since we launched 5 years ago, over 1,000 people have made a decision to surrender to the Lord at our altars alone. And we're committed to that, preaching the gospel of the King and the gospel of the kingdom. Amen? You can't have the King without the kingdom, and you can't have the kingdom without the King. We have been experiencing revival at all our campuses. We have 4 locations right now. We have Paramount, Long Beach, Carson, and even in Whittier, we meet in the park. I don't know if you heard that or not. I'm going to say that again. In Whittier, on Sundays at 3:30, we meet in the park. And one of the reasons is because we recognize that the church is not the four walls of the building, but the church is believers. And I saw a picture the other day where our Whittier campus doesn't have a pretty altar like this. They put a mat on the ground. And there was people worshiping the Lord on the ground in the park, because when God has been so good to you, you got to get down where you get down. And we've been experiencing revival on all our campuses. Paramount campus, we started off with one service here at 12:30. That was our first service. Anybody remember that? Amen. Amen. My sister was here. And the Lord began to multiply us. And about 6 months ago, we launched our campus in the city of Carson, which is just west of us. We launched one Sunday night service at 5 p.m., and the revival spread to the city of Carson. It spread to the city of Carson. In 6 months, dozens of people have surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ at our Carson campus. I remember one time, I didn't even give the altar call, and somebody just came up and threw themselves at the Lord Jesus at the altar. I didn't even give the altar call. They just came and surrendered to the Lord. It's like fish jumping out the water. And in 6 months, we have actually filled the sanctuary up that we are renting, filled it up. On 2 particular times I know of, there may have been more than 2, but 2 particular times I know, people had to leave because there was no more room. Hello, somebody. That don't happen everywhere. And our kingdom work, our kingdom work in the city of Carson is specifically dear to my heart personally, because regretfully at the age of 16 years old, when I was a young gang member not serving the Lord, regretfully I was responsible for the death of a rival gang member in the city of Carson. And I believe that God is sending me back with Chapel of Change to give fresh hope to the city. I believe that. I believe that. In fact, tonight at the city of Carson, I'm scheduled to dedicate to the Lord two little kids whose young father was murdered 6 months ago. We're going to bless them. We're going to dedicate them to the Lord. Because that's what we do. We give fresh hope. Chapel of Change gives fresh hope. And we're not afraid of the darkness. This is I'm trying to give you some background on, let you know who you're a part of. Right? And recently, out of nowhere, our lease that we were renting from the building that we're in the city of Carson, recently our lease was abruptly terminated. It was terminated. And they gave us 30 days to move. 30 days to move. We knocked on some doors and nothing opened up. Knocked on about 5 doors, communicated with about 30 people, and nothing opened up. And I believe, I felt, this is just my personal opinion, I felt as if the devil was trying to kick us out of the city of Carson. I felt that. I felt that. That's my personal conviction. And in the matter of the last week, last couple of days, unknowing to us, I went back to the letter that they gave me in which they terminated the lease, and I looked at the date, which was the end of March. And unknowing to us, on that very same week, a church in the city of Carson, another church in the city of Carson, was moving out their building to another location, which opened up a 200-seat church in the city of Carson, unknowing to us. How many of you know that God works behind the scenes? While we worry, he works. That's a word right there, and I can just say amen. Collect the offering and let's go home. That should deliver somebody right there. You're going to be hearing this testimony quite often because it's not done yet. It's live. It's cooking right now as we speak. And I really believe that the devil was trying to kick us out of the city of Carson. But what has happened in the last four days, as we prayed and as we met together with our leadership teams of Chapel of Change, we made a decision that we believe that is in line with God's will to secure that 200-seat church for the glory of God and to lease it for 5 years and to go back to the city of Carson and double down. You ever play poker before? Double down our work in the gospel in the city of Carson. See, some of y'all should have been louder than that because y'all know you played poker before. Don't act holy now, amen. But we made a decision to go back and double down. And if the Lord says the same, next week, God willing, I will sign a 5-year lease on another building for Chapel of Change to the glory of God, to the glory of God. Now, I want you to listen to me clearly. I want you to listen to me clearly because I'm going to say this several times throughout the week. Communication is complex. I need you to help me communicate this because some people are going to get it wrong and you need to get it right. We are still keeping our Paramount Location building and our Long Beach building. We are still keeping them. We are still going to have services on Paramount and Long Beach and Carson. But the times on Sundays are going to change. And we are going to let you know that in the next couple weeks as we nail it down. But believe me, it is for the greater good of the kingdom of God as we reach more souls and take another city for the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen? So we're still keeping, we're not moving, we're still keeping the locations. The Lord is just, he's just expanding our territory. Now, this is what I need from the church. This is what I'm asking, and I'm saying this at all the services. I'm going to probably say this for the next 2 weeks. But this is what we need from the church. I'm asking three things from the church. Number one is we need your prayer like never before. This is a step of faith. We're taking over land for the kingdom of God. We're taking it over. And God does nothing outside of prayer, but he does everything in relation to prayer. So we need you to pray that we launch this Carson campus successfully and big, and that souls come to the kingdom of God. We need you to pray. That's number one. Number two, we need people support. We need people support. We are going to be launching two services in our new building, a morning service and a 5 p.m. service in our new building. And we need some people to transfer for a season. I'm not asking you to do your whole life. I'm asking for a season to attend the Carson campus in the morning, maybe three times a month, to allow us to have a strong start. Someone say start strong. Right? We need a start strong so that when the community comes in, they see people there worshiping the Lord. And we need some people to be praying over the walls and anointing the building and worshiping the Lord. We need to bring the kingdom down at that facility. And we need about 75 to 100 people, and I'm making this announcement throughout the whole Chapel of Change, to commit to being urban missionaries. Urban missionaries. And going over there first. I'm going to be the primary preacher, so I'm going to. It's going to be like almost the same thing. But wherever Chapel of Change go, we're bringing the kingdom down. Amen. So that's number two. And then number three, we need financial support. We need financial support. Listen, hear me today, family. And if you're a visitor here, just please bear with us. We're talking like family for a couple moments. We're going to get into the word. I promise. We're going to get into the word, but we need to talk like family for a moment. It's going to cost us $10,000 a month to lease that 9,000 square foot building. That is $10,000 we did not plan on 2 weeks ago. But how many of you know that when the Holy Spirit gives you an opportunity, you got to seize it, right? It's going to cost us approximately $40,000 just to move in there because of miscellaneous costs, such as we got to put 2 months deposit down, which is about $18,000. We got to buy literal seats. They don't have seats in there. We got to buy children material for that. We got to fill up the offices, and there's miscellaneous things. We got to build a stage and stuff like that. We got to prep it for worship. So it's going to cost us approximately $40,000 just to move in. And so this is what I'm asking all of Chapel of Change. Last Sunday, there was over 1,000 people at Chapel of Change. So I'm asking for at least 100 people to pledge to give $500 over their normal tithes in the span of 2 months. I'm asking 100 people to pledge to give $500 over their normal tithes in the span of 2 months, which will help us to launch strong and to reach more souls for the kingdom of God. And I'm going to encourage you to go back and talk to your spouse. If you're married, talk to your children. If you're single, talk to God. Well, talk to God. Everybody got to talk to God, right? But pray about it. Talk it over. Some of y'all, you know you can do it right now. So some of y'all could just commit to doing it right now over the span of 2 months. If that is you, if you're willing to do that today, during the tithes and offerings on the flat, we want you to just write your name, rip off the flat, put it in an offering basket so we could know who's committing to what, if you think you can do it already. But we'll also make the announcement next Sunday as well. To lead the charge, my wife and I are going to lead the charge. We're going to commit to giving $1,000 just to double it up, because we want you to know that we're serious about this. We want to lead the charge. We're going to give $1,000 a pledge. And so I can guarantee you, in the name of Jesus Christ, with confidence in the Holy Spirit, that at the end of the day, thousands of people are going to give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ through our Carson campus alone for the glory of God. And your investment is going to make an eternal impact for the kingdom of God. And so I want you to think about that. I want you to pray with that, and I want you to talk to your family and see how you can sacrifice. And with that said, before we get into the word, I'm going to call Pastor Terry up here if he can pray over this next season of ministry as we expand the kingdom of God. Can we come in agreement through prayer today, saints? Amen. Pastor Terry.
Let us pray. Father, we come before you today. All things are possible through you. So God, today we put our faith and our trust in you. God, we ask that you provide for us, God, that you would continue to lead us by your Holy Spirit. God, what we do is all for you. We plan on bringing glory to your name, God. So God, I ask even now, you begin to touch your people all over this room, God, at all the campuses. God, you begin to touch us. God, begin to help us to see the vision. God, help us to be able to provide. God, help us to be able to give. Help us be able to sacrifice, God. God, I know that you're calling on us to sacrifice more, to commit more. So, God, I pray even now that you give us all the strength and the ability to be able to consecrate our lives to you, oh God. God, we pray for your will to be done. God, prepare Chapel of Change for the next step in ministry. God, we put our faith and our trust in you. Continue to provide, God. Continue to lead. God, continue to speak to our hearts. Help us, oh God, to yield to you. Have your way, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's get into the Word of God this morning, Ephesians chapter 6. I'm excited about the Word that we're going to be teaching this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. When everybody's there, say amen. Amen. Listen to what the Word says. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, the day of evil comes. I want you to notice that. The day of evil comes. Hear me for one second. There is a sense where we're at war all the time, because that's what the revolutionary is about. There's a sense that we're at war all the time. But there are particular days in which the enemy launches an assault on your life. We are at war all the time, but there are particular days and assignments where the enemy launches an assault on your marriage, on your family, on your mind, and you need to be able to withstand that day. You need to be able to stand that day. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? You may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand, verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, verse 16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let the church say amen. Amen. I'm excited this morning because we are continuing our study on revolutionary weapons. And I want to remind you that as believers, we are part of the revolutionary army of God. And the Lord has given us weapons whereby we use to enforce the victory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's given us weapons whereby we can use to broaden and establish his victory and his dominion in this world. Now, I want to remind you of a couple things as we get into this lesson this morning. That number one is that we must view ourselves as revolutionary soldiers. We must view ourselves as revolutionary soldiers. The Bible likens us to soldiers. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, the scripture says that you, therefore, must endure hardship as a good, someone say good, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Not a bad soldier, not a lazy soldier, not a complaining soldier, not a deserting soldier, not an AWOL soldier, right? But a good soldier. See, believers are called to be soldiers in the revolutionary army of God, and we have all been called to battle. Touch your neighbor and say, get back in the battle. Yes, get back in the battle. And let me remind you, I want to remind you that the church in one sense is a type of battleship. The church in one sense is a type of battleship. Not a country club, but a battleship. Not a theater, but a battleship. Not a playground. But a battleship. I want to remind you of this, that the church, you didn't come to a playground this morning, you came to a battleship. You didn't come to a country club this morning, you came to a battleship. You didn't come to a theater this morning, you came to a battleship. And we are expanding the kingdom of God, and we're pushing back the kingdom of darkness with the dominion that God has given us in the name of Jesus. Someone say Jesus. We've been talking about our revolutionary weapons for the last couple of weeks. We started off with dominion, and we learned that dominion is the license by which we use our weapons. You can't just use your weapons. You got to have a license to use it. And then last Sunday, we learned about the most powerful weapon that we have. It's called the name of who? Jesus. That name of Jesus is a powerful weapon. It's not just a pretty little name that you put at the end of a pretty little prayer. No, it is a weapon that you use to break down strongholds in which the enemy is trying to set up in your life. I'm trying to shift your paradigm. And move you from just being a casual Christian to a revolutionary soldier in the revolutionary army of God so that you can begin to win some battles. Now, the letter of Ephesians is one of the so-called prison letters. And it's called a prison letter because Apostle Paul wrote it while he was in prison. We know that Apostle Paul was under house arrest, and there was a Roman soldier that was assigned to him. And perhaps at other times in his life, Apostle Paul was even, we believe, chained to Roman soldiers. He was chained to Roman soldiers. And I suggest to us this morning that while Paul was chained to a Roman soldier, God gave him the revelation of the armor of God. I want to suggest something to you. I want you to think about something. That while Paul was chained to a Roman soldier, God used that opportunity to give him a revelation about the armor of God. Because what he explains in Ephesians chapter 6, he's using the metaphor of a Roman soldier. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? You need to get this, because while the devil sent the Roman soldier into Paul's life to intimidate him, God used the very same intimidation to teach him a lesson. Y'all didn't catch that. Half y'all didn't catch that. I'm going to say it again. While the devil sent the Roman soldier into Paul's life to intimidate him, to scare him, to hold him down, God used the very same weapon against Paul to teach him a lesson about the armor of God. See, my brothers and sisters, that God speaks through circumstances and situations, and he's the best one that can turn the weapon of the enemy around and use it for his purposes and use it for his glory. And so the question this morning is, are you learning the lessons? I want to suggest to some of us, we need to stop asking God to talk to us and start listening to what he's already saying. Don't be so distracted by the situation that you don't learn the lesson. Don't be so mad at the situation that you don't learn the lesson. What if Paul would have complained about the Roman soldier that he was tied to and said, this wasn't what I signed up to do. I signed up to preach the gospel around the world. Now I'm chained up in a cell to a Roman soldier. He would have missed the revelation. He would have missed the revelation. So God speaks through circumstances and situations. But the question is, are you listening? And one way you can learn that you know you're not learning the lessons is if you always repeat in the problem. If you can't say amen, say ouch. If the problem keeps coming around over and over again and you're the common denominator in the problem, that means you're not learning the lesson. If you keep letting him back into your life over and over again, there comes a time where you got to stop blaming God. You didn't learn the lesson. And so in this revelation, Paul breaks down the armor of God. He breaks down the armor of God. And the first weapon that he identifies is the belt of truth, the belt of truth. And I have three reflections for us that will teach us what it means to put on the belt of truth. What does he mean when he says the belt of truth? What does it look like for us to put on the belt of truth? What does it mean to have the belt of truth on? What does it look like if I don't have the belt of truth on? How can I measure my life when I left my belt at the house? How do I know if I left my belt at the house and I'm at work? How do I know that? I want to give you three reflections. Number one is keep it together. Keep it together. Notice in verse 14, he says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, for you to understand what he's getting at, you got to remember that the Roman soldier would wear a robe underneath his armor. And the robe was long and the robe was loose. It was almost like a dress. It was long and it was loose. And when it was time to get serious, the soldier would put his belt on. The belt, get this, my brothers and sisters, was the first sign that the soldier was ready for battle. If you look down the road and you seen a Roman soldier walking down the road and he had his belt on, you know that brother meant business. The belt, it would tighten the robe against the body of the soldier so that he could fight more effectively. It would tighten his clothes around his body. And the soldier, he needed agility. He needed flexibility. He needed to run fast. He needed to maneuver with freedom. And he couldn't maneuver with freedom if he was living a loose life. The soldier needed to pull in everything together so that he can fight with no hindrances. He needed to pull in the loose ends. I'm going to say that again. He needed to pull in the loose ends because he couldn't fight effectively if he lived a loose life. The enemy would come and pull his robe over his head and whack him. So when Apostle Paul speaks of the belt of truth, he's speaking of preparedness. He's speaking of readiness. Write that down. He's speaking of alertness. He's speaking of preparedness. He's speaking of alertness. He's speaking of readiness. Again, the belt was the first marker that the soldier was ready for hand-to-hand combat. You know, back in the days, when I was growing up, if you seen two girls about ready to fight, the first thing they would do would kick off their sandals and pull off their earrings. That was the LBC translation of putting your belt on. When you seen a sister kick off her sandals and pull off them big old loop-de-loop earrings, you know she meant business. Can I get an amen? This was the equivalent of the Roman soldier putting on their belt because they couldn't fight with the loose ends out. The belt speaks of preparedness, readiness, alertness. We can't fight the enemy with loose ends in our lives. We can't live loose Christian lives and expect to run off the enemy out of our life. Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:34, he says, come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. You know what the LBC translation is? Get it together. Get it together. Stop sinning. Stop sinning. Get, keep it together. Get it together. pull in the loose ends of your life. Everybody in here is guilty at some point or another of allowing the world to creep in and get us to live loose lives. We get comfortable in this world and we put our guard down and we start letting things hang out and we can't fight the enemy living a loosey-goosey life. I don't know where I got that from. So how does this play out into our life? My brothers and sisters, listen, I'm trying to equip you for battle. I'm trying to help you win some victories, right? I'm tired of seeing defeated Christians, and I'm tired of getting beat up in the spirit, right? I need to win some battles, right? This is why I'm teaching you this, is so that you can walk out of here and get some victories on Monday, right? So that you can praise the Lord on Monday, not just on Sunday. So how does this play out in our lives? Can we talk like family for a little bit? I stole this from a sister on Facebook. She said, you can't talk like the devil and then expect to rebuke the devil. I'm just saying. You can't talk like the devil all week long and then expect to rebuke the devil when you get tired of the devil. Because eventually you're going to get tired of the devil. You can't have a friend with benefits and serve the Lord at the same time. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't be sleeping around. You just can't do that. You can't be getting high when no one is around and think that it's okay. You can't do that. This is a battleground. You're on a battleship. We need you, my brother and sister. We need you, my sister. I need help at times. I need to turn around and see a brother standing with me or a sister standing with me. I can't turn around and see you running off because you have some hidden thing in your life. And the enemy beating you up, and I'm like, where's my brother at? I'm getting beat up by myself. I need some backup. Okay, all right, let me come here. You can't sneak off to the club on Saturday night and be an usher on Sunday morning. You just can't. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. This next one, I only got one more. I just got one more, but this next one, I say this next one about every 3 months because some of y'all weren't listening last time. So I say this next one about every 3 months. You can't keep listening to music that promotes fornication and expect to rebuke the spirit of lust. You can't do that. You just cannot be bumping a Snoop Doggy Dog and expect to rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. I shared this testimony before, but I'm going to do it again because it proves this point. And I just want to be transparent with y'all to let you know how this thing is done, right? When I got out of prison, I was so mesmerized by the world, man. The little things. I was so excited about being in the world. The world was a museum to me when I got out of prison after doing 16 years, man. I would drive everywhere. I would go to McDonald's with a smile on my face. Everything was... And one of the things that I was excited about was listening to the radio because I had been in the desert for like 16 years and I never really listened to the radio. And so I got this truck and the truck has memory on all the radio stations. And I remember buying this truck and it had power 106 on the dial. It was already there. I didn't even put it in there. Somebody hooked me up. And I justified it as to use it, right? And so I would go to LA, I would work at LAX, take me 45 minutes to get there in the morning, and I'll listen to KKLA, and I'll listen to the preachers, Alistair Beck, I would listen to, you know, all the Jack Graham and all that, I'd feed my faith, right? But coming home from work, driving down the 105 freeway with a bunch of demons up on that 105 freeway, it would take me an hour to get home, I would bump power 106 because I needed to get up, right? I would roll down the windows, put some air, act like I was in a convertible, right? And I would be bumping. I was bumping, right? And I did like many of y'all do, but you won't say it. I said these songs don't affect me. I've been serving the Lord for 20 years. And the problem was every other song, maybe every other three songs, was filled with fornication. It was filled with smoking weed. It was filled with going to the club. And I justified it. I said, you know, I've been serving the Lord for 20 years. This ain't gonna affect me. And I just kept on bumping. down the 105 freeway. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. And next thing I know, I started having some bad thoughts. Hello, somebody. Next thing I know, I started having some bad thoughts. And I did what I was trained to do. I go back into the Word, and I pull out my Word, and I pull out the name of Jesus, and I start rebuking these thoughts in the name of Jesus. I do what Corinthians says. I started taking every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. But it wasn't working. I pulled out that name of Jesus because that's what I've been trained to do. In the name of Jesus, I rebuked these thoughts and these da-da-da-da-da-da, and it was not working. And I know, I'm smart enough to know that if God's armor is not working, the problem is not God. I'm smart enough to know that. If God tells me to do something and it ain't working, the problem is not with him, it's with. So I started to rebuke these thoughts. It wasn't working. Finally, I got frustrated. Like, man, I can't be living like this, Lord. You got to take these thoughts away from me. Take these thoughts away from me. And I'll never forget. I remember what the Lord put in my heart. You know what he put in my heart? He says, why you want me to take them away from you? You're just going to put them back in you when you drive home from work. Why are you going to bet? You frustrated? You contaminating yourself. And you begging me to help you out. See, my brother and sister, I had to pull in the loose end of my life. And we're all subject to that. No matter how holy you are, no matter how long you've been serving the Lord, this world has a way of getting us to take off our shoes and putting them up on the seat and bumping Tupac or somebody. I don't know. But we need to tie in our loose. We need to tighten it up. We need to touch your neighbor and say, tighten it up. Listen. Paul says, don't allow the enemy to have a foothold. That's Ephesians 4:27. Paul said, don't allow the enemy to have a foothold. Listen, last week I talked about strongholds, right? And a stronghold is a major area in your life that the enemy rules you in. That's a stronghold. It's a major area, maybe in your mind or in your emotions, that the enemy rules you in. If you're having a problem over and over with anxiety, that's a stronghold of the enemy. If you're having a problem over and over again with addiction, that's a stronghold of the enemy. If you're having a problem over and over again over lust, that's a stronghold of the enemy. But hear me today, my brothers and sisters. Stronghold starts with footholds. Strongholds start with foothold. You know what a foothold is? Is that when we crack the door, they say, I don't want to go in. I just want to peek. I just want to look. I just want to get my toe wet. And you crack the door, and the enemy goes, whew. He puts his foot in there, and you're trying to shut the door. You're trying to shut the door. I didn't mean it. It's too late. That's a foothold. And next thing you know, you all up laying up with the devil. Remember this. Stronghold starts with footholds. And you got to be able to tie in, bring in the loose end when you identify. Can I get an amen? That's number one. I knew I wasn't going to get too many amens, but let's go. Let's keep it moving. Number two. Someone say number two. Keep it straight. Listen to verse 14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth. Truth. Someone say truth. What is truth? Truth is God's view on a subject. Truth is, write that down. It's God's view on a subject. In this world, there's basically two views. There's God's views and everybody else's view. And let me tell you something. Everybody else is wrong. Everybody else is wrong. Truth is God's view. Not the mayor's view, but God's view. Not the governor's view, but God's view. Not the president's view, but God's view. Not the voter's view, but God's view. This is very, very important, my brothers and sisters, because the devil is a liar. He's a schemer. That's what the Bible says, right? And his main weapon against us is trickery and lies. And he is good at it. Hear me today. He is good at it. He's been doing it for a long, long time. And I would dare say that everybody in here has an area in our life where the enemy is tricking us and we don't even know it. I would dare say that because he's good at that. This is why you better not turn a blind eye to wisdom or other people speaking into your life, because there's areas that you cannot see and you need somebody else to pluck that out of you. I don't know who that was for. That's not on my notes. That's for somebody up in here who's trying to say, oh, don't say nothing to me. I know what I'm doing. I know what I know. You don't. The enemy is a trickster. He's a conniver. He's a schemer. That's what the Bible says. And he's good at it. Everybody in here has an area in our life where he's tricking us and we don't even know it. And therefore, we need to constantly say, Lord, evaluate our hearts. Lord, examine my heart. And you better listen to godly wisdom when it's spoken into your life. What is truth? Truth is God's view. And our generation, my brothers and sisters, has largely abandoned God's view. Our generation has largely abandoned God's view. We abandon God's view on marriage. We have abandoned God's view on the sanctity of life. We have abandoned God's view on prayer. And we wonder why things are the way they are. But my Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. And since I'm going deep, I'm going to go deep anyways. I'm going to do this. We have abandoned God's view on smoking weed. Don't talk to me. I'll finish this all by myself. I want to talk about this for a second. I ain't going to be too long, but I want to talk about this stuff because I kind of get tired of my, I'm talking about my generation, people younger than me, saying, oh, I need to smoke weed because I can't sleep. I'm getting tired of that. You know, you do some push-ups, run around the block, exercise, you'll go to sleep. And you ain't smoking weed because you need to go to sleep. You've been smoking weed since you were 12 years old. And how do I know? Because I was with you, smoking weed with you. So I know if I can stop, you can stop. But no, we cover it up and we chose man's view instead of God's view. And then we mess up everything. Amen. Let me jump off that because I'm just going to jump off that right there. But I said it. I'm done. We, as the Revolutionary Army of God, need to be committed to the truth. The truth was never designed to hurt us. It was designed to bless us. Brothers and sisters, we fell for a lie and we thought the truth was designed to hold us back. Like, we can't do this or we can't do that. And therefore, we didn't like the truth. No, the truth was meant to bless us. The Bible says, Jesus says, to sanctify us by God's truth and that his word is truth in John 17:17. That means the word, the truth is meant to make us whole. It's meant to cleanse us. It's meant to heal us. Jesus said in John 8:32, he says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Now notice in the scripture, it's not truth alone that sets you free, but it's the truth you know that sets you free. That's why every time we get together, we open up the Bible and we teach the truth out of the Bible. And we should be getting healed every time, more and more in our life, because we're getting the revelation of the knowledge of God and we're knowing more and more the truth. And every time we get together, we should have a little bit more freedom and a little bit more freedom and a little bit more freedom. We shouldn't be backsliding. We should be moving forward because we're knowing the truth more and more. Does this make sense? Here's the last thought. Number three is keep it real. Keep it real. Verse 14 says, stand firm then with the belt of truth. Now, there's another shade of meaning to the word truth in this context. Bible scholars will point out that the word truth in this verse does not just mean God's view, but it also means truth as in truthfulness. Truthfulness. Truth as in being sincere. Truth as in being genuine. Truth as in being real. Write that down. This is what this word truth also means. It means truth as in being sincere. Truth as in being genuine. Truth as in being real. Psalms 51:6 says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. My brothers and sisters, God expects us to be true. He expects us to be sincere. We were true to our old lifestyle. Now it's time to be true to the kingdom of God. If we're content with our little sins, we're never going to get enough confidence to win any battles. If we're content with our prayerlessness, we're never going to win the day-to-day battles of life. If we're content with not growing spiritually, emotionally, and even physically and socially, we're always going to be constant losers if we're content with where we're at. God expects us to be seriously sincere with our commitment to the kingdom of God. He expects sincerity. He expects commitment. And let me just let you know that God already knows everything about you. He's waiting for you to come clean. And something happens when you keep it real with God. There's something happens in the spiritual realm that sets you free. For I believe you're only as sick as your secrets. But when you come out to the Lord, which he already knows, there's this spiritual power and healing and strength that he delivers to your soul because you're being sincere, you're being genuine, you're being real. I didn't say perfect. God is not looking for perfection. He makes you perfect, right? But he's looking for sincerity. People that will say, Lord, I'm not perfect, I'm broken, but I want to sincerely serve you and I sincerely love you and I'm committed to this here life. I'm committed to serving you. I'm committed to reading my Bible. I'm committed to praying. I'm committed to being transformed more and more into the image of God. I'm putting my belt back on. I'm tightening up my loose ends. I'm putting my belt on because I want to be ready for battle and I want to get some victories. I'm tired of getting beat up. I'm tired of getting broke down. I want to win some of these things. I want to win some of these things. So as we bow our heads today, my brothers and sisters. What I want to do for this next moment is I want us to just ask God to examine our hearts, to help us to identify some areas in our life that we have loose ends in. What are the areas that you have a loose end in? Is it your attitude? Is it your thinking? Is it your speech? Is it your giving? Let's just bow our hearts and our heads and ask God, Lord, search our heart and help us to pull in the loose ends. Just for a couple of moments, let's bow our hearts.